Dear Father, Lord, as we come to you this morning, we are so thankful that you did not leave us to ourselves. The God, that you came, that you sent your Son to live as one of us, to die for us, to provide us with an incredible hope. And Lord, this morning, as we now turn to your word, I pray that you'd help us to remove any distractions, anything that might be clouding our minds, our hearts, to help us, Lord, to focus on your word. Lord, to be sensitive to your spirit. Lord, that we might do what your will would have for us today. Lord, use your presence in this place to do something mighty among us. And we'll give you the praise for it. For it's in your name we pray. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. And our kids are going to be dismissed this morning for Kids Connect, for grades 1 through 3. And this morning, let's take our Bibles to the book of 1 John. Chapter 1. 1 John chapter 1. The book of 1 John is a very practical letter and has a lot of exhortation, a lot of great teaching for us, written by John, same author as the Gospel of John. And here in chapter 1, we see a great passage about walking. Walking in the light. Here as we are stepping into a new year. You know, it's this time of year that we think about New Year's resolutions. We think about the new things that we need to do, the new me that needs to come about. And sometimes people say, well, you're going to get the same old me that you've always gotten. But this is always a really good time for us, for evaluation, for introspection, for us to think about. And here at the natural start of a new year, what do I want to see accomplished in this year? And so I want us to look at this passage this morning with thinking about this idea of walking in the light. How is our walk that which pleases God? That which matches what our lips say. And so I want you to look with me here, 1 John chapter 1, and let's read verses 5 through 10. It says, "This is the message that we have heard from him and proclaim to you, that God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. If we say we have fellowship with him while we walk in darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another. And the blood of Jesus, his son, cleanses us from all sin. If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sin, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say we have not sinned, we make him a liar and his word is not in us." Here we have John, who doesn't mix words. He is very clear and at times very blunt, but he gives us some important scriptural truths. And this all hinges, and it starts there in verse 5. This is the message that we've heard from him. He's referring back to what he's talked about earlier in verses 1 through 3, that this is the message that we have seen, that we have touched. He was an eyewitness to this Jesus. And he says there in verse 4, God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. He is teaching us God is light. God is the source of this life. It's what we saw in John chapter 1 in verses 4 and 5. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. It's like the sun. Think of how much energy is in the sun. How much the sun powers, how much the sun brings life. And I'm not just talking about solar panels. I'm talking about life to plants and the photosynthesis and all that stems from the energy from the sun. Or how about even the vitamin D? You know, that even the sun on our skin helps vitamin D. It helps the calcium to be released to build better, stronger bones. The sun is that light, that life. Here we see the same source, the same idea of light and life in God. God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. God revealed that light. God revealed that life through Jesus Christ. We saw that as we looked up to Christmas, that here the light of the world has come to us through Jesus Christ. This is what Jesus says in John 8:12. Again, Jesus spoke to them saying, I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will not walk in darkness, but will have the light of light. So we see the contrast. We see the darkness, we see the light, and we see what this is building. And John is building this idea of walking in the light, walking in this life that we have in him. Darkness is a path of death. Because we see there in verse 5, God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. Now, in the Greek, we are seeing here what is it's a double emphasis. It's saying there in God, there is no darkness, none at all. He is emphasizing the fact that God is completely pure. He's completely light. That's the same idea that we see in Revelation when we see the picture of heaven, that there is no sun because God is lighting the place up with his glory. Isn't that going to be incredible? There's not going to be any darkness in heaven. There's not going to be any of that, the blackness and the darkness that it brings. God is light. There's no darkness at all, none at all. It's the emphasis on that pure life in God. Darkness is that death. Death coming from sin. Romans 6:23, wages of sin is death. James 1:15, sin when it is finished brings forth death. Ephesians 2:1, you who were dead in trespasses and sins. Do you see a pattern? Sin produces death. The problem is we get these misconceptions about sin. We get a little too lackadaisical and all of a sudden we begin to see different ideologies coming in to our life. We think that sin can coexist with life. We see that happen when we begin to rationalize our sin. Well, you know, I did it this way because. I did it this way, or I'm doing this because. You know, I'm just a sinner already. And so we begin to think, well, sin can coexist with life if I just rationalize it and fit it in. Or we think that sin is balanced by merit. Now, a lot of times we know that the Bible teaches, but yet we function a different way. Have you ever had those weeks where you thought, you know what, maybe I need to do something to balance out all this that's gone on this week? And we kind of functionally say, you know what, I got this sin in my life, so let me do these different things here, and I'm going to try to make up for it. And in fact, this is one of the leading things that people believe and how they get to heaven. You know what? I've done more good than I have bad. And so they try to use a merit system, a scales, that sin is balanced by merit. And so we're going to live in our sin, but we're going to try to balance it out. Or we produce the idea that, you know what? Sin is really where life is. This is the fuddy-duddy principle, right? That if you aren't sinning, then you aren't living. But you know what? All of that looks pretty for a season. And then it comes to a point when you realize that sin becomes a hard taskmaster. that all that living it up gets you to a point where it doesn't fulfill, that it doesn't satisfy, and you are left with a void, and that sin that you thought was really life has produced a false life and a death in us. John here is addressing these everyday actions of those that are walking in the light, those who have this real Jesus, this one that he's proclaiming, that he saw, that he touched. And so he's using this idea of walking. Walking is a great metaphor throughout Scripture. It's referring to actions. It's referring to conduct. It's referring to your way of life. How you walk is your conduct. It's your way of life. It's what you do. It is really your applied ethics. Because it happens all the time. You have a stated belief, but understand it's your stated belief plus your actual practice that equals your actual belief. And this is John saying, this is how we should walk. This is what we should do. If we say this, this is what we should be doing in walking in the light. And John is contrasting this light and this darkness. He's showing us those misconceptions that breed death. And he's trying to teach us how to walk in light in real life. This morning, I want you to see the difference between the life outside of the light and the life inside the light. The first thing we see is the life outside of the light. In verses 6 and 8 and 10, we see three different times this word. If we say, here are three different claims. If we say, and here are the claims. Verse 6, if we say we have fellowship with him, while we walk in darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. John is exposing some of these bad thoughts, these bad ideologies. If we say we have fellowship with him, with Jesus, but we walk in darkness, we are lying and we aren't practicing the truth. Sometimes it's a hard word. That we say that we are walking in this fellowship with God, but our life is showing something different. These claims are showing us the difference between walking in darkness. John is using this idea of walking in darkness as not being open to God's revealed truth. God has revealed truth. God has revealed his way. He's revealed for us through his word how we should walk, how we should live, how we should conduct ourselves. And walking in darkness is to say, I don't need this truth. I don't need this in our life. And when we do that, we see the life outside the light. The first thing we see is darkness. If we say we have fellowship with him while we walk in darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. We are walking in darkness. We're trying to let sin coexist with a relationship with God. And throughout Scripture, we see for those that name the name of Jesus Christ, sin should not hold power over you. It should not be something that you want to live in. It should not be something that you desire. We don't let it coexist with the relationship with God. And so walking in darkness is walking in an ignorance to the sin in our life. Darkness veils the truth, doesn't it? You parents know this. When you walk into your kid's room at night, darkness veils the truth. When you told them to pick up their room and you thought they picked up their room, until you find that one tiny little Lego and it hits you in that spot on your foot that causes the whole spine to shiver, right? I mean, you're going to hit it right on that right nerve. The darkness has veiled the truth that not every toy got picked up. When we were living in North Richland Hills and I was working on my master's and I was working in the evenings, I didn't get home till my shift ended at midnight, and so I get home. Emmy would fall asleep in the bed with Nicole, and she was a lot smaller then. And so I would come home, and every night I would pick her up, and I'd carry my little princess to her room and put her in her bed. Do you know how difficult that is when the lights are off? With a 3-4-year-old little girl who has toys that have all kinds of little pieces, and you're trying to walk into that room and you're trying to sidestep stuff. And you know what? There are times that it almost went down to my knees, and there were times that she just barely made it into the bed because I had stepped on something. Darkness veils the truth. When we want to live in sin instead of walking in light, there is a darkness, and we aren't thinking clearly. We aren't seeing clearly, and our steps are hazardous. Living outside of the light brings darkness. Don't take a playful or lackadaisical attitude towards sin. Verse 8, then we see the next claim, and we see deception. In verse 8, if we say, here's the claim, if we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. If we say that we have no sin, this is a present verb. In other words, that we are not presently sinners. In other words, we are saying, hey, I'm doing a pretty good job. I'm living pretty clean. I'm doing this pretty good. I have no big sins. Notice there the deception. If we say we have no sins, we are deceiving ourselves and the truth is not in us. Being deceived is to cause to go astray from a specific way, and we are deceiving ourselves. Have you ever been around a pathological liar? That condition where they believe that their lie is the truth? They are deceived. James chapter 1 verse 22 says, but be doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. It's very easy for us at times to hear all this, but not apply it, not do it, and then deceive ourselves and thinking, you know what? I'm pretty good. I've heard about this. I know about this, but yet our lives aren't showing it. And so we're deceiving our own selves. It leads to that false memory, that false idea. Proverbs 28:13 tells us, whoever conceals his transgressions will not prosper, but he who confesses and forsakes them will obtain mercy. Living outside of the light is going to bring deception. You're not going to be able to have an honest evaluation. And then verse 10, notice the last claim there. If we say we have not sinned, we make him a liar, and his word is not in us. Now, this might seem similar to what we saw in verse 8. If we say that we have no sin, but in verse 10, there is a difference in the tense of the verb. If we say we have not sinned, the tense of the verb here is bringing about the idea that we have never sinned, that we've never been wrong, and we've never committed sin. In other words, this is a demonic mentality, and it's used that way because it fits my alliteration just perfectly, but also because where does that come from? But the devil, who is the father of lies. This is that chief lie that he has done from the very beginning. You will not surely die. Has he really said this? And it turns God into a liar. If we say we have not sinned, Romans 3:10, for all, there's none righteous, no, not one. 3:20, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. If we say that we have not sinned, that we are inherently good, we are turning God into a liar, that which he is not. John 8:44 says, you are of your father, the devil, and your will is to do your father's desires. He was a murderer from the beginning and does not stand in the truth because there's no truth in him. When he lies, he speaks out of his own character, for he is a liar and the father of lies. 2 Corinthians 4:4, in their case, the God of this world has blinded the minds of the unbelievers to keep them from seeing the light of the gospel and the glory of Christ, who is the image of God. If we get to that point where we believe that we are not sinners, we are following a lie. a very demonic place to be. Living outside of the light, it brings darkness. It brings deception. It brings the demonic, that idea of the liar. But John also shows us what life is like in the light. The life inside the light, it includes fellowship. Look at verse 7. But if we walk in the light, as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another. And the blood of Jesus, his son, cleanses us from all sin. If we walk in the light, if we are walking with him, if we are listening to him, if we are obeying and following him, building that relationship with him, we are going to walk in fellowship because we are utilizing that gift of life through Jesus Christ. Walk in the light as he is in the light. Guess who is in the light? Jesus. And if we're going to walk in the light, we're going to walk with him as he is in the light. That is that idea there of fellowship. We have fellowship with him while we walk in the darkness. We have fellowship with the one another. And the blood of Jesus, his son, cleanses us from all sin. Fellowship, the idea of having things common, having things shared. This is a life that is shared in fellowship with one another. It just baffles my mind at times why Christians don't like being around other Christians. Why is it so hard to get believers to want to gather with other believers in fellowship? Why is it so hard for us not to want to walk together in this light, in this fellowship? Because it's the same blood of Jesus that has allowed me to be here. It's the same blood of Jesus that allows you to be there. And we together can walk in the light because of who he is. We have that fellowship, that desire to be together. And if we're scared to walk together, there might be something wrong. And folks, the world's watching. The world knows what stops us from getting together as a body of believers. They know the things that stop us from fellowship, and they know the things that don't stop us. They know the things that we will stop going to church for, and they know the things that we won't stop doing the other things in our life for. If there's a life inside the light, we will fellowship. Those in Christ desire to be with others that are in Christ. To see that commonality that the blood of Jesus Christ has cleansed us from all sins. This is not a sinless perfection, but a perfectly cleansed through Jesus. We join together not because of who we are, but because of who he is. He's the light. He's the life. He produces this fellowship. So that's why we gather. And we live like one who is having fellowship with the Father and not fraternizing with the foe. We see fellowship. Then, verse 9, we see forgiveness. One of the great verses of Scripture. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins, to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. You see, walking in the light is not about us being this completely sinless person. It's about us trusting the one who makes us sinless. It's about us trusting the one who has given us this opportunity to confess our sins. He is faithful. He is just. He'll forgive us. He will bring about this cleansing in us. The word here in verse 9 for confess, it's an interesting word. It's a compound word. It means to say the same thing. So if we confess our sins, we are saying the same thing. The same thing about what? We are agreeing with God about what that sin really is. When we really confess, we are seeing our sin the way that God sees it. And we are saying, God, I know how much you hate that sin. Because of that sin, you sent your son to a cross to die for me. And we say the same thing. We confess, Lord, I have sinned. I've fallen short. Lord, I need your forgiveness. We see that sin as God sees it. Joseph, when he was confronted by Potiphar's wife, he said, why should I sin and do this great wickedness against God? David, when he's confessing in Psalm 51, a beautiful picture of confession, he says, against you and you only have I sinned. We understand and see that sin as its affront to who God is. It's not just the simple, I'm sorry. Oh, to teach our kids this. You know, when things happen, I tell you, y'all think Charlie is precious. But there is a point where that 3-year-old little princess gets enough of the 5-year-old. And their little fights go back and forth. And there will be a moment when Charlie just rears back and just lets Finn have it. And I mean, she gives it to him square. And Finn, he starts crying, and so we're coming in, we're rushing in, we're trying to figure out the situation, and we tell Charlie, say you're sorry to Finn. What do you get? Sorry. And that's about it. And that's about the pitch, too. Trying to teach him it's not just about just a quick saying, I'm sorry. Understand that a confession is a change of mind. It's saying, I don't want to do this. I don't want to go back to this. I want to change. I want to change my mind. I want to change my will. I want to change my emotions. I want to change. I want to truly confess to see him with that true forgiveness. Because there we see the character of God. If we confess our sins, what will he do? He is faithful. He is just. He will forgive us. He will bring that righteousness back. He does not lie. I love these words of Psalm 103 in 8 through 12. The Lord is merciful and gracious, slow to anger and abounding in steadfast love. He will not always chide, nor will he always keep his anger forever. He does not deal with us according to our sins, nor repay us according to our iniquities. For as high as the heavens are above the earth, so great is his steadfast love toward those who fear him. As far as the east is from the west, so far does he remove our transgressions from us. As a father shows compassion to his children, so the Lord shows compassion to those who fear him. For he knows our frame. He remembers that we are dust. How incredible. If we confess, he will forgive. God promises forgiveness. Why don't we walk in it more? Why don't we keep a short list with God? So many times we fail to confess because we often focus so much on us. We fail to confess because we don't like the fact that we might be the one to blame. And this is a problem. You get on social media for any length of time and you will notice how we are very quick to blame others for all the problems. Sometimes we don't like the fact that we are to blame, that we have sin, that we need to get right. It's so much easier to blame others. We don't like the fact that we failed, that we messed up. We don't like the fact that we might be responsible, but when we focus so much on us, it hinders our confession, when instead, in confession, we should be focusing on the forgiveness that he provides. Confession should draw us closer to God, because when we do, we are reminded of all that is good in him, that we confess our sins because he is faithful, because he is just, because he has provided for us a way to walk in light, a way to walk in life. He has provided this beautiful, loving, this gracious remedy for sin. And when we confess, we are acknowledging, Lord, I know how dirty, how rotten I've been, but oh, how great, how loving, how incredible you are, and how faithful you are to forgive me of my sins. Help me, Lord, not to walk that way anymore, but to love you more. Why not confess more to see the love of God more in our life. It produces a love for Him. And love God for it. Don't love the sin to continue to live in it. So as we're thinking about walking in the light, we see this contrast, the light, the darkness. If we say that we're doing this and we're living in darkness, there's problems. But you know, all of this led to that next verse. Look at chapter 2, verse 1. My little children, I'm writing these things to you so that you may not sin. Here's John's purpose. I'm telling you these things because I don't want you to live in that which produces death in you. Your best friends will tell you the hardest things. I don't want you to live in sin. And then notice that next part. But if anyone does sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous. I'm writing these things to you. I don't want you to walk in darkness. I don't want you to walk in death. I want you to walk with the Savior, our advocate. He has provided a way for us not to walk that way anymore. Don't abuse Him, but love Him. Walk with Him. Sin cannot coexist with life. Sin produces death. Sin is not balanced by merit. Sin does not produce real life. Only the light through Jesus Christ provides life. So as we look at stepping into a new year, I want you to see from this passage that walking in light is to walk with good company. Walking in light is to walk with good company. Company that brings a fellowship. That it is such a joy to be around one another. It's such a joy to have people that you know that will pray for you. People that will walk with you. People that will help you up when you have a tough time. And people that will, that you can help up during a tough time. It is great to walk with a God who says, I know your frame. I know who you are. I know the worst thing that you want to hide from everybody out there. And I still love you. I still forgive you. And I want you to walk with me. Walking in light is to walk with good company. Life is in the light. That light is Jesus. To walk in the light is to walk with Jesus. In 2008, on the PGA Tour, there was something that was happening that had never been done before. A young man by the name of DJ Gregory was born with cerebral palsy, and it affected his legs and his muscles in his legs, and he had his feet were kind of turned out. And he had a lot of trouble walking, but he walked with a cane and he kind of stumbled along. And from the age of 12, he had really grown into golf and really loved watching golf. And he would even play and he would only swing a club with one hand. But he loved the PGA. His dad took him to some events growing up and he fell in love with it. He went to college. He earned a master's degree in sports management. And then in 2008, he decided, I want to walk every round of every PGA tournament that year. This guy with cerebral palsy that could barely walk. The first tournament was in Honolulu, Hawaii. He said there wasn't an even place in the whole course. And he walked every round. Now, a lot of times we see the rounds televised on Saturday and Sunday, but they start on Thursday. Four rounds in every tournament. Every round he walked that round. And as he did so, he would pair up with a different golfer each time, and he would walk with them, and he would write a blog for the PGA. So every time he would walk in, he would write with a new golfer, and he would start listening to their stories and doing these different things. And here he was stumbling, walking through. He fell over a dozen times, and he said, "I learned from my mistakes. I got up. I kept going." He said the hardest part was to watch himself on TV. He said, "I felt embarrassed." His dad sat weeping, and he said, "He has nothing to be embarrassed about." Stumbling, walking along. And in 2008, he achieved that goal in November. He walked every round of every tournament. There at the end, the golfers that he had met and he had walked with, some he had walked with a couple times, Kenny Perry and some of the other ones that came up, they gave him a big old hug. This year will be the 13th consecutive year that he has walked every round of every tournament. This guy who thought it would be tough enough to walk once did it through the whole year of 2008 and has continued to do so. He began to inspire the golfers that he walked with. It's not about the ability of the walk. It's about who you're walking with. D.J. Gregory wrote a book, it's called Walking with Friends, about his time talking with these golfers on the tour. Since that time, he's inspired so many others. He started a foundation called Walking for Kids that helps kids with special needs, and so many of the golfers donate for them. As we think about D.J. Gregory, I think it's easy for us to see that walking in the light isn't always about our ability, isn't always about how pretty it looks. Sometimes it might look embarrassing, but oh, it's the one we're walking with. It's Jesus, and we have fellowship with him. Because the blood of Jesus cleanses us. And if we confess our sins, he is faithful. He is just to forgive us. Let that change your walk. Don't walk in sin. Walk in fellowship. Walk in that forgiveness. So the question is, how will we step into 2021? Walking in light? Walking in darkness. Shall we stand this morning? We stand with our heads bowed, and I just want to ask you to take a moment here. And just begin to get a little intentional in your life. How am I going to walk? What is this next year going to look like, not only for all the peripheral things of life, what is this next year going to look like spiritually in my life? Am I going to grow closer to Jesus this next year? What would you have done differently in 2020 at the beginning if you knew what was going to happen? How can we step into 2021 with that kind of intention? To walk in the light, to walk with Jesus. Listen, Jesus is providing a way for you to do that. He wants you to be available. He wants you to want that and desire and love him in that fellowship, to utilize confession in the forgiveness. How will you grow? How can you do something more meaningful, more spiritual in your relationship with Jesus this year? How will you walk in that light? As we come to this time of response, I pray that those questions would be on your heart. Altar is going to be open. Brother Andrew, myself, we're going to be down front if you need someone to talk to, pray with. But as we look forward, how are you going to grow closer to Jesus in your walk? Father, just work now in this time. Use it for your honor and your glory. Let us listen to your Spirit, obey. Do what you would have us to do. For it's in your name we pray.